You want to be a good neighbor, and you're pretty sure that means loving your neighbor. But how? The first step to loving your neighbor is to know your neighbor. A quick demographic search yields graphs and charts and data that quickly become overwhelming. But behind every statistic, every bar graph, every number, there are very real people whose lives are full of needs, longings, and dreams. This four-week series will explore how we can live out our values of being curious, creative, and compassionate when we ask, "Who is my neighbor?"
Over the past year or so at the Potterville campus, we've baptized several young people, like Luke, who was baptized in the churchyard, and Naomi, who was baptized at our all-campus baptism service at Waldemar Nature Center. A reminder that that all-campus baptism service at Waldemar is coming up again this year at the end of July. I love that Sycamore Creek ignites authentic life in Christ and fans it into an all-consuming flame in young people. In addition, in the Potterville campus, we've baptized or reaffirmed baptism with some folks who are, well, maybe more mature. You know, these are people like Carolyn and Ruth and Karen and Kathy. And I love that Sycamore Creek ignites authentic life in Christ and fans it into an all-consuming flame in more mature folks too. At Sycamore Creek, the Holy Spirit is working in the lives of people who are younger and in the lives of people who are older. An important part of partnering with the Holy Spirit to transform lives is the type of church that Sycamore Creek is trying to be. We're working to live out our mission, both within the people who are part of Sycamore Creek and for our neighbors and our community, and for the people who may not call Sycamore Creek their church home. Thus, at Sycamore Creek, you'll encounter carefully thought out sermons, opportunities to learn and grow, and strong outreach into our communities. We're a church that doesn't just react with dismay to the things around us, but we seek to get involved. We want to make a difference. We're a church that works to do things about the problems of our community and our world. And that's a culture our church is working to create, because that culture connects with people who are younger, and it's a culture that connects with people who are a bit more mature. Now, one way we're working to be able to make this work is by reaching older people who like to be around younger people. You see, the thing about Carolyn and Ruth and Karen and Kathy is that they like to be around young people like Luke and Naomi. Now, if you consider Sycamore Creek your church home, then it's probably because what I'm describing about our church resonates with you in some way. At our best, we are a multi-generational church. And the culture of Sycamore Creek is rooted not just in who we are, it's also rooted in who we are trying to reach with the good news of God's love shown through Jesus. I'm going to have us pause a moment here for a chat question about the culture of Sycamore Creek and the church that we are trying to be. Here's our first question for discussion. What is one way that you've noticed Sycamore Creek working to make a difference? Let's take a moment and talk about that. Today we're continuing our series that we're calling Who is My Neighbor? It's a series that's rooted in one of the greatest commandments from Jesus, where he says to love God with everything that you have, with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second greatest commandment is equally important, to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says that no other commandment is greater than these. Now, when a religious expert heard Jesus say that about those commandments, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" That's a great question. So in this series, we are asking the question, who's my neighbor? And we're doing that by taking demographic information, the percentages and facts and statistics about the communities around our campuses, and we're using that data to look at how we can better love our neighbors. That loving our neighbor idea is an essential part of the mission of our church, to ignite authentic life in Christ and to fan it into an all-consuming flame. To look at how we can love our neighbor, we're using Sycamore Creek's core values throughout this series. We are curious, creative, and compassionate, and we're applying those values to the demographics of our neighbors. And in this series, we've kind of messed with the order a little bit, and we're being curious, compassionate, and creative. We're curious as a church, and today we will be curious about who our neighbors are. We'll be curious about who God has called us to reach. Now, as well, we're compassionate as a church. And today, in light of that question, who is my neighbor, we're going to be compassionate to learn our neighbor's needs. And finally, we're creative as a church. And in considering a specific group of neighbors, we're going to be creative today about how to meet our neighbor's needs. Being curious and compassionate and creative about our neighbors is a great thing. But as a reminder, there are a lot of neighbors all around us, and they're all different. They have different values and different backgrounds and different interests and different education levels and different income, and it's a lot. It can quickly become overwhelming. So when it comes to reaching out to our neighbors, there's a key assumption that we make as a church, that we can't reach everyone. We can't reach everyone. And we can't reach everyone because we can't be a neighbor to everyone. That can easily lead to being overwhelmed, because to attempt to reach everyone, it's really to reach no one. We need to focus. And so as a church, we need to know who we are and the neighbors that we are trying to reach. So today I'm going to focus our curiosity, focus our compassion, focus our creativity on one specific group of neighbors, Rooted Flower Power. Now, let me remind you how this group of neighbors is identified. This group is identified through psychographics. And psychographics is things like lifestyle, opinions, attitudes, interests, and personality traits. And we get that all from data that comes from Experian. Experian is this service like credit card stuff where it tracks all your purchases, puts you into categories, and those categories are called mosaic segments. You'll see them on the left side of the screen right now. There are 71 segments segmented into 19 family groups, A through S, where A is the highest socioeconomically and S is the lowest socioeconomically. Now from there, Tom Bandy takes all that information. He's a Canadian demographer, a theologian, an author, and a church coach. And he takes the psychographic data and he applies it to churches. And we're going to use his work today. Now, again, we're going to focus today on one specific mosaic segment, the L42 Rooted Flower Power neighbors. We're going to be curious about them. We're going to be compassionate toward them, and we're going to be creative around this group of neighbors because they're present within our church and around each of our campuses. And if we look at the percentage of the demographic group Rooted Flower Power within a 10-minute drive of each of our campuses, you see on the screen there, it's 8.2% for South Lansing, 4.7% for Eastwood, 2.7% for Potterville. Rooted Flower Power is a segment or subgroup of the overall family group called Blue Sky Boomers. These are middle-class baby boomer-aged households that usually live in small towns. Now, the Rooted Flower Power segment are baby boomer singles and couples rooted in established communities, and importantly, they're around retirement age. Keep in mind, that's going to be significant as we talk about this group. Now, to help us get a picture of this group, let me outline a skit for you based on characteristics of this lifestyle segment. First, imagine the scene with me for this skit. There are three people in a sunlit church garden. Are you there? Can you feel the sun on your face? Maybe some birds are singing in the background. Next, let me introduce you to our three characters in this skit. Karen is a 67-year-old retired school principal with short, curly gray hair and glasses. She's wearing a light blue blouse and white pants. Karen is known for her warm smile and for her calm demeanor. Our next character is Bill. Bill is a 70-year-old retired civil engineer with thinning white hair, a neatly trimmed beard, and a slightly hunched posture. He wears a plaid shirt and khakis. Bill is thoughtful and often reflective. And finally, our third character is Helen. Helen is a 68-year-old former nurse with shoulder-length white hair, always neatly styled. She's dressed in a floral dress and has a vibrant, energetic personality. And the church garden where they are is full of blooms with colorful flowers and lush greenery. And there's a small wooden bench that's under a large oak tree, providing perfect shady spot for their conversation. Karen, Bill, and Helen are sitting together on that bench, enjoying the atmosphere of the garden. Now, Karen, looking around the garden, notes, "It's days like this that remind me why I love volunteering here. And just being surrounded by nature is so grounding. Bill, at this point, nods at Karen while gazing at the flowers. Absolutely. It's like the garden reflects the seasons of our lives. We've grown and changed so much, yet we're still rooted in our faith. Helen smiles warmly at Bill and Karen and says, speaking of growth, I was reading a wonderful book on spiritual renewal. It really made me think about how we can find new purpose even as we approach retirement. Karen responds, that sounds intriguing. I've been feeling a bit anxious about what comes next. I mean, we've dedicated so much of our lives to our careers and to our families, and now it's like we're searching for new ways to make a difference. Bill looks reflective and says, I've been feeling that too. Sometimes I wonder if I've done enough. You know what I mean? Those lingering feelings of regret can be hard to shake off. Helen reaches out and places a hand on Bill's shoulder and says, it's never too late to start something new. And our church has been a wonderful place for that. Think of all the outreach programs and teams that you're involved in. We're making a real impact. Karen nods and says, we've got such a supportive community here. The preaching is always inspiring and the programs are so well thought out. It gives us a platform to use our skills and experience in meaningful ways. Bill smiles slightly and says, that's true. Plus, we get to pass on our values to the next generation. My grandchildren love coming here, and it's a joy to see them engage with the church. Helen laughs softly. Oh, absolutely. My granddaughter just joined the youth group, and she's so excited about it. It's moments like these that make all the difference. Karen looks thoughtfully and says, you're right. And maybe it's not just about what we've done, but what we're still doing and the legacy that we're leaving behind. Bill nods and says, exactly. And as long as we keep smelling the roses and appreciating what we have, we'll find that sense of peace and fulfillment that we're searching for. Helen smiles and says, here's to a new beginning, into continued growth. Karen smiles back and says, here's to that. The three of them sit in companionable silence, the sun filtering through the leaves, casting dappled light on the garden, and the scene fades out as all three friends, content in their shared moment of reflection, continue to enjoy being outside. Now, that skit was brought to us through the power of artificial intelligence. AI sifted through all the data on Rooted Flower Power and came up with that skit. Let's together pull out some themes from that skit and clarify them. Now, from a Rooted Flower Power religious perspective, this group wants to always take the time to smell the roses and appreciate what you have. You may have noticed that in the skit. And when I think of the religious perspective of this group, I'm reminded of a leader in our church on the vision team, Kathy Dobie. Now, whether Kathy lands perfectly in Rooted Flower Power or not, she is a perfect example of the religious perspective of this demographic group, because Kathy often posts pictures of sunsets on Facebook. Take the time to slow down and to appreciate the beauty and the blessings in life, like smelling the roses or noticing a particularly gorgeous sunset. This is one of the strengths that the Rooted Flower Power segment brings to our communities and to our church. The Rooted Flower Power religious perspective also notes that this group has the spiritual issues of feelings of regret, anxieties about meaninglessness and death. And this is an opportunity for us to engage with compassion with this group. Again, remember that this group is right around retirement age, and it's totally normal to sift through complicated emotions around retirement. There's a looking back on our lives that we do around this season of life, and there's a figuring out what retirement is going to look like moving forward. And while we all make mistakes in life, and it's easy to rehash those mistakes during this huge transition from our lives being defined by our work to life being defined by other things. Now, there are some characteristics of Rooted Flower Power that they bring to our neighborhoods, to our communities, and to our church in terms of what I would call common church presence for Rooted Flower Power. And those things that they're relatively active in church. They may be seasonal in attendance. We might not see them in the winter. They quest for quality of programs. They value excellent preaching. They're often on board and committees in leadership, and they value advocacy and outreach. The Rooted Flower Power segment are people who tend to be firm in their faith and relatively active in their church. They may have worked in the past in education or healthcare or social service or civil service, accounting, or maybe middle management in business. They often have mixed feelings about retirement, and they view church as an opportunity to put their skills to good use. This is a very valuable lifestyle segment to have in churches because they love to volunteer and to be recognized for their volunteering. They're such good volunteers, this group is, that they often volunteer both in the church and with other community organizations. I love that. Thank you, God, for Rooted Flower Power neighbors. Let's pause a moment here to contemplate further what we have in common with this lifestyle segment. So here's our next question for discussion, whatever lifestyle segment you think you are a part of. The Rooted Flower Power segment values things like excellent preaching, volunteering, and taking the time to smell the roses and to appreciate what you have. Which of those values resonate with you, and why or why not? Let's take a moment and talk about that. I already mentioned the greatest commandments as identified by Jesus. Again, they are love God with everything that you have and to love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says no other commandment is greater than these. And we're focusing today on the Rooted Flower Power segment to love them better. We're also getting to know the Rooted Flower Power segment today because, well, when the Israelites were in exile, captive in a foreign country, Jeremiah the prophet prophesied to the people of Israel, "Work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare." And that's a reminder that wherever we are living, we can work for peace and prosperity in our neighborhood and in our community. Now, that was a message thousands of years ago to the exiled Israelites, and it still applies to us today as followers of Jesus. We can't work for the peace and prosperity for our Rooted Flower Power neighbors unless we know how to show compassion and mercy to our Rooted Flower Power neighbors. By the way, just a little confession here that as I'm saying Rooted Flower Power again and again, I'm fighting a smirk each time because the names for these lifestyle segments really amuse me. They must have been great fun for whoever created them. As you continue to picture this group, Rooted Flower Power, in your mind, and maybe it helps to think of our skit with Karen and Bill and Helen, remember that this group loves name brand or historic churches that are somewhat, not a lot, but somewhat liberal, practice strong accountability for ethical behavior, and that offer high quality programs. Thus, in general, this group appreciates that Sycamore Creek is part of the United Methodist Church. They're grateful that we're part of a historic, established denomination. And one of the things that they like about our denomination is the pastors that the United Methodist Church produces. You see, pastors in the United Methodist Church often have advanced degrees. For example, Pastor Tom and Pastor Mikkel have their Master of Divinity degree, and I have a PhD. The Rooted Flower Power segment appreciates that, and they appreciate pastors who are solidly orthodox in their faith. Again, that's us at Sycamore Creek. They appreciate churches that are active in social causes, and again, that's us at Sycamore Creek. Now, as you continue to picture this group in your mind, don't limit them too much, because while this segment does really value predictability and stability and heritage, they're also very open to new ideas, and they're willing to take risks. And those of you who have been around Sycamore Creek for any length of time know that we love to experiment. We love to try new things. And in particular, we like to play with what is historic and traditional and bring out new expressions of those things. The Rooted Flower Power group is supportive and active in these efforts. For example, at our Potterville campus, we've established a tradition for Maundy Thursday. That's the night where we remember Jesus washing his disciples' feet before sharing the Last Supper with them. And in honor of that, we go into our Potterville community and we offer free car washes at the local car wash.
That's valuing stability and heritage, Maundy Thursday, while being willing to try new things, like a free car wash, where we wash cars instead of people's feet. And that's a strength of the Rooted Flower Power segment. Now, as we talk about this group of people, these neighbors, I'd be missing something if I didn't mention how much this segment values family. There's a tension here, though, because while Rooted Flower Power folks love their family, their children are often not part of a church. So this group often wonders why their children don't attend church. The disconnect of their children from the church, it's a source of deep pain for people in this group, and it's a place for us all to be compassionate. Now, this group will often bring their grandchildren with them to worship whenever they can. The Rooted Flower Power segment usually drives to church, and they may have stopped and picked up their grandchildren that morning on the way to worship. So what connects this group in terms of a church space, like, you know, the physical space? Well, they appreciate a well-maintained church building with space for conversation. They're looking for a church that provides excellence in many areas. And, well, they appreciate churches that make an effort to do things like recycle and to compost and to take care of the environment. And they're concerned about things like pollution and global warming and corporate ethics and healthcare and about human rights and about family values. And when there is a natural disaster, well, the Rooted Flower Power folks are there to help. They love to respond to help with relief and recovery. And again, friendships and face-to-face connection are essential for this group. So they love to serve together. They love to recreate together. They love to meet together. And they like spaces that help them to do that. They also like spaces that help preserve classic church architecture and sanctuary interiors. They look for Christian symbols like crosses and denominational insignias. They love stained glass windows. Now, you might be noticing that this is a bit different perspective than the singles and starters that we talked about last week with Gretchen and Mikkel. It's one of the reasons Sycamore Creek, particularly in South Lansing and Potterville, blends the new with the old in our buildings. Now, as we contemplate today the characteristics of our Rooted Flower Power neighbors, I suspect that there are people that you already know who you've gotten to understand a little bit better today through the demographic data that I've presented. There may be neighbors who are part of Sycamore Creek. The people that you're thinking of, they may be neighbors who don't consider Sycamore Creek their church. And as I've talked about this Rooted Flower Power group today, maybe it's you. Now, as we engage Rooted Flower Power neighbors with curiosity and with compassion and with creativity, let me remind us all one more time that loving our neighbors is an essential part of the mission of Sycamore Creek, to ignite authentic life in Christ and to fan it into an all-consuming flame. As we work together to fulfill the mission of Sycamore Creek Church, one group of neighbors that we are going to invest in as a church, one group of neighbors that we are going to invite are our Rooted Flower Power neighbors. They're present within and around each of our campuses. And I hope that we've been able to understand today how and why Sycamore Creek might appeal to these neighbors. Let's go and together, let's live out the greatest commandments of Jesus. Let's love God with everything that we have, and let's share that love. Share that love with our neighbors as with ourselves. As Jesus says, no other commandment is greater than these. And as we engage people today from the Rooted Flower Power group, let me remind you, we're not only following that command of Jesus, we're furthering the mission of Sycamore Creek Church. Let's go and let's live out that together. Amen.